Well, students, so now we are here to go for the next another chapter, that is chapter 11. This is a chapter on profit theories and break-even analysis. We have already studied about what, when we started, the basic concepts that we are going to use in microeconomics, what managerial economics is about. We move towards understanding of consumer behavior, the producer's behavior, right? Various objectives of the firm. Now, from the objectives of the firm, which was our chapter 3, we remembered that one of the major objectives that firms have is profit maximization. Connected to that, we have chapter 11, which is revolving around the theories of profit and break-even analysis as a very important tool to understand how profit can be estimated and decisions can be taken. So let's understand what's in store for us in the chapter 11, profit theories and break-even analysis. We start with the very first slide of this chapter where we introduce you to the term of profit. Profit is said to be a reward which goes to the organization as a factor of production for participation in the process of production. So we look at organization as one of the fourth factor of production after land, labor, capital. Profit is a reward which is earned by entrepreneur or the organizer. Many say that profit is like a residual income, an income which is left after making all the contractual payments to the various factors of production in the production process or in the business. Right? But yes, profits is attained or profit can be calculated only after the sale of the product. Although companies are making use of a pre-estimate of profit calculation based on some past historical data, but yes, profit is like a remaining amount which the firm is left with after making all its necessary contributions and payments. Let's understand further. So the theories of profit will introduce us to various characteristics of profit, which you see over here. First, profit is always uncertain and indeterminate. Now, that makes profit figures very, very volatile. We cannot predict the profits of the company, right? So it's an uncertain and an indeterminate variable. Profit always bears dynamic fluctuation. So if there's any macro level changes, it is going to have an impact on the profits of organization. So profit is subject to external fluctuations. Profit may be positive, zero, or negative. Now, what do we mean by negative profits? There's no term called negative profit. Actually, it's a loss. But we can say that profits, when we say are negative, we means it's nothing but a loss. Profit occurs by keeping total cost below total revenue. Very, very basic rule. So as long as the total cost is less than the total revenue, profits will always emerge. And finally, profit is very strongly related to the entrepreneurial skill and ability. So it's rightly said, an able entrepreneur, a skillful entrepreneur, will always be able to fetch more profit from the market because of his skill and abilities. With that, we move ahead to the various types of profit. There are four types of profit which we are going to discuss in this chapter. The two profits that you see in this slide are gross and net. Now, what's the difference between gross and net? Gross profit is said to be the total profit. It is that residual income which accrues to an entrepreneur when he excludes total explicit cost from total revenue. Matlab, jab hum total revenue mein se total explicit cost ko minus karenge, the profit that we derive is termed as gross profit. Explicit cost is all the actual expenses incurred which are recorded in the books of account. So payments made, purchase of machinery and raw material, all the expenses which the company has incurred and which it is recorded in the books of account is considered as explicit cost. from gross profit we can derive net, because net profit is gross profit minus the depreciation plus tax. However, in economics, the net profit is also connected with including the implicit cost. So when from the total revenue we minus not just the explicit cost but also the implicit cost. Now students, implicit cost are the cost incurred on self-owned resources of the organizer. जैसे अगर आपका खुद का कोई एक ऑफिस है, आपके घर को घर का एक आपने ऑफिस में कन्वर्ट कर दिया है, तो यू आर पेइंग अ इम्प्लिसिट कॉस्ट. सो द रेंट दैट यू कुड हैव अर्न्ड, अगर आपने उस ऑफिस को लीज पे दिया होता, यू कुड हैव अर्न्ड अ रेंट, बट यू हैव सैक्रिफाइस दैट, सो दैट इज इम्प्लिसिट कॉस्ट. Implicit cost is your own skill and or your own talent for your own company. You remember we had already done a sum on this when we were doing this chapter on objectives of the firm, where we learnt about something called as accounting profit and economic profit. Remember, just the same thing over here. So, but in accounting terms, gross profit is total revenue minus total cost, and net profit is from gross profit when we minus depreciation and taxes. Okay, here we have the next two types of profit that we are going to very much use in the further chapters on markets: normal profit and supernormal profit. Normal profit and supernormal profit has been a microeconomic thought by Alfred Marshall, and he says that normal profit is a no profit, no loss situation. It is that minimum amount of profit which an entrepreneur must get from the market in order to survive in the market. But supernormal profit is a very good profit because it is a motivation for the company to expand. It is a profit which attracts competitors into the market. So whichever income over and above the normal profit is attained is declared as supernormal profit. तो हम स्टूडेंट्स को मार्केट कॉन्टेक्स्ट में ये याद रखना है फ्रॉम इकोनॉमिक पॉइंट कि नॉर्मल प्रॉफिट इज द प्रॉफिट वेयर द एवरेज रेवेन्यू इज इक्वल टू द एवरेज कॉस्ट. एवरेज रेवेन्यू इज इक्वल टू एवरेज कॉस्ट. बट इन सुपर नॉर्मल प्रॉफिट द एवरेज रेवेन्यू विल बी ग्रेटर देन एवरेज कॉस्ट. एवरेज रेवेन्यू विल बी ग्रेटर देन एवरेज कॉस्ट. ओके, सो फॉर द टाइम बीइंग यू कैन कनेक्ट the normal and super normal profit to average revenue and average cost concepts. Okay, from here we are going to start with the theories of profit, and the very first theory that you see here is profit is an accounting surplus. Now why we say profit is an accounting surplus? Because definitely profit has to be calculated, and anything that is calculated is accountable. That gives you back the same two types of profit which we discussed, gross and net. And as I had made it very clear, in economics, net profit takes into consideration not only the explicit cost but also the implicit cost. What are implicit cost? Earnings of self-used factors. Implicit cost is the cost of self-owned resources of the entrepreneur. It can be your own savings which you have used in your business as capital. It can be your own, you can say, place which you have used as an office, or anything which is your own self-owned resources, right? The second theory, which is given by J.B. Clark, is a profit is looked upon as a dynamic surplus. So instead of saying that profit is a residual income or a surplus of revenue over cost, J.B. Clark says that profit is dynamic. He believes in one very important fact that if there are changes, if there are challenges, if the market is changing, it is going to bring risk, but without changes there cannot be profit. So he believed, he made a statement that if the society was static, ruka hua economy, then there is no profit, no gain, right? He says that profit will always be attained only when there are changes, because he says if the economy is stagnant, there will be no incentive to invest. if there is the same quantity of production, if there is the same quantity of consumers, I mean, if there is no change in price, no change in cost, no supply demand conditions changing, it's a still economy. And if the economy is still, it will not have a drive for incentive, or there will be no encouragement to the entrepreneur class to come up with anything new. He rather believes that if there is dynamic changes, then there is definitely going to be competition, and competition will actually lead to more business, more variety, more innovations, and finally more profit. Some of the dynamic changes about the external environment outside the business mentioned by J.B. Clark are population size, the size of capital that companies are investing, changes in production techniques, that is technology, business organization, like we have mergers, acquisitions, we have single proprietorship to joint ventures, we have private public sector companies becoming private sectors, privatization involved in public sector companies, and so on. And one of the most dynamic factor is the human wants, which is the beginning of our subject of economics. Human wants keep changing. Human wants are never ending. They are unlimited. So these are all the dynamic changes which are an incentive for the company for modifying their products, innovations, and for more profits to be acquired from the market. The third theory which is given on profit is by Taussig, which was further developed and supported by Davenport. This theory is called as the wage theory of profit. In this theory, Taussig is giving profit, he is comparing profit to wages. And he believes that an entrepreneur is also earning wages from the business, which is in the form of profit. He says there is no difference between an employee who is working for a company and drawing a salary and an entrepreneur who is also equally working for his company and earning a profit. So he tries to bring the employee and the entrepreneur on the same platform. And he says, like labor gives their services and earns wages and salary, entrepreneur also gives his services and earns profit. So here, profit is just compared to a wage by Taussig. No doubt, the theory has lot of criticisms. There are many critics. Like, the theory says wages can never be compared to profit. Like, wages are always positive, but you cannot have always positive profit. The first attack on Taussig's theory. Second is saying that labor and entrepreneur. How can Taussig compare the skill of an entrepreneur with that of an employee? That's absolutely not, it cannot be put into the same category. He says rather an entrepreneur has more mental activity involved in the business than an employee. An employee will come work for some number of hours and go. But an entrepreneur is always working for more number of hours than the labor. The third critic is that the theory is never explaining about how profits will be divided among shareholders. Because we know that in modern times, one of the biggest source of capital for the company is the shareholders. Nothing about the shareholders' contribution is mentioned in this theory. And the most important critic is risk. Labor has no risk, whereas entrepreneur is handling the entire risk of the business. To contradict the last critics, Frank Knight came up with a theory called profit as a reward for uncertainty bearing. Taussig's theory did not mention about risk, but Frank Knight's theory mentioned about risk, and he believed that risk is a reward, the risk which is the uncertainty bearing, which the entrepreneur is bearing. So profit is a reward for undertaking that risk and that uncertainty. And the risks are getting classified into two broad categories, the insurable risk and the non-insurable risk. He says that the insurable risk can always be statistically computable, which insurance companies are doing. They are making use of various probability theories, and on that basis, the insurance companies are deciding how much would be the returns for the premiums that the insurer is undertaking and paying. Frank Knight says that it's not the insurable risk which are very important. Profit is actually a reward for the non-insurable risk, because the non-insurable risks are unpredictable. And who is going to bear that risk? The entrepreneur. So profit is a reward which is earned by an entrepreneur for handling the non-insurable risk. Now, which are the non-insurable risk? Frank Knight has mentioned some of these non-insurable risks, which you will agree with me. Competitive risk, they are non-insurable. Technical risk, like a particular technology introduced in the company, but that does not work, or that does not give the company that expected outcome. Government intervention, if the company is making high profits, it may bring government involvement. Business cycles, the ups and downs of the business, and natural calamities. The next theory, which is a very popular theory given by Joseph Schumpeter, it is highlighting one very important function of an entrepreneur, that is innovation. Joseph Schumpeter says that an entrepreneur who is the most innovative today will be the one who would actually undertake a large margin of profit from the market. So therefore, an entrepreneur, a businessman, has to continuously keep innovating. Some of the innovations which may bring profit for the company are new products, new method of production, new markets, new source of raw material which may be better and cheaper than the existing source, and new organizational setups. So the models that the offices are set up, like after COVID we had work from home and hybrid culture setting in. These were definitely cost cutting for the companies and improving higher output for the companies. Work from home has always been beneficial for the companies during the COVID and post-COVID situation. So what are the different innovations which are being classified by Joseph Schumpeter is given in this theory. And he says that profit is nothing but it is a continuous process. Then coming to Karl Marx. Karl Marx, who has always been very critical about capitalist class. He said capitalists are always going to exploit the have-nots and earn profit. He came up with this theory, which is socialist theory of profit. It is a must for us to understand what was Karl Marx's view about capitalist class. Karl Marx believed that in capitalist economy, which we are today moving towards, a very large part of the profit is going to be grabbed by the capitalist. So capitalists are going to become rich and richer, and the working class will be getting a very small portion of the profit. So he believed that profit is like a surplus value. The more the surplus value, the higher the capitalist class growth. So he believed that there is always going to be a very big difference between haves and have-nots, and it is the haves who are the capitalists who are going to draw the maximum profit, which is declared as surplus value. He believed that as long as the surplus value is attained by the capitalist class, they will be interested in expanding their business and exploiting the labor class. His theory has been criticized because his theory is only and only giving more weightage to labor, and say that labor is the only factor which is drawing the company's profit. An entrepreneur is enjoying the profit at the cost of labor. Second critic of this theory says that profit is not the outcome of exploitation of labor as Karl Marx thought, but sometimes profit may be purely due to the entrepreneur's ability. So if the entrepreneur is capable, the entrepreneur will make more profit. I think we had discussed about this, if I take you back. Yeah. Here, we had discussed about this, right? So profit can be also connected with ability. The third is that the theory ignores the risk taking and uncertainty bearing. So this way, Karl Marx's theory has also got some criticisms. It does not take into consideration windfall. What if there's a sudden profit without labor's efforts? No, nothing mentioned about that. Okay. And it does not provide us any means of how much is that surplus value. How can Karl Marx say the surplus value is at the cost of exploitation of labor? From moving from profit theories, we are moving to a profit policy, which has come now, called as profit maximization policy, which most of the companies are adopting. This policy makes the company work hard towards one ultimate goal, which is maximization of their profit. And companies are correlating their efficiency with their profitability. So profit has become like a measuring scale for judging the company's efficiency. And therefore, how much ever the company tries to attain its other objectives, profit will always be going to be its one of the prime goal. Profit policy theory does not explain how profits can be maximized, what are the ways the company can attain to maximize profit. Again, most of these theories do not give weightage to risk, uncertainty which companies are facing. Time factor is never mentioned about how much time it takes for the company to attain that maximum profit. Certain such things are getting ignored in the theories and policies. There is the next policy which companies today are adopting, alternative to profit maximization policy, and that is called fair profit policy. Now, this fair profit policy is explaining about a reasonable level of profit. It does not say maximum profit. What is maximum profit? Where the total revenue is higher than the total cost. We have done a part, if you remember, in my first chapter. You remember? Total revenue, total cost. Yes, that you can relate in profit maximization policy. In fair profit policy, we are talking about a reasonable level of profit. Here we are talking about companies attaining a reasonable amount of profit so that they can stay in business. Okay? So if the firm is earning super normal profit, what will happen? It will attract more firms and its profit level will come down. So mostly companies, in order to remain in the business, try to go for an alternative profit policy called fair profit policy, something near to normal profit. Third, if the firms have higher profit, they will encourage laborers to demand for higher wages. So firms do not want to go for maximum profit. Sometimes the firms are going to fix the price at which they are going to sell the product, which helps them to attain its fair profit margin and at the same time attain some social objectives also. Like for example, corporate social responsibility with fair profit policy. So today companies are very much satisfied with fair profit policy rather than profit maximization, so that they can prevent from more competition or government intervention. Finally, we are coming to the next part of this chapter, which is a mathematical tool called break-even analysis. Break-even analysis is used for estimating the profit or for estimating the minimum amount that the company has to manufacture in order to reach the no profit, no loss point. In break-even analysis, what we are all trying to find is the break-even point. What is this break-even point? Break-even point ek aisa point hai jahan par company ko wo output level attain hota hai where its total revenue equals its total cost. Correct? So, in break-even analysis, we are trying to say that the company is looking for break-even volume. The number of units that they have to sell, they have to produce and sell so that they are able to cover up their cost and fetch enough revenue from the market. The formula given over here, okay, is total fixed cost divided by selling price minus variable cost. You have to remember this formula very well. Break-even volume is total fixed cost divided by selling price minus average variable cost. Now, here we have the diagram which is given over here. This is the formula, the second formula, where fixed cost is divided by marginal contribution per unit. Marginal contribution per unit is the same as selling price minus the average variable cost. To understand this formula, there is one sum which I have given here. Here I have told you that suppose if the company's fixed cost is 30,000, the selling price is 25, the variable cost is 10. How will you use this formula, this information in this formula where you are calculating the break-even volume by applying this formula? So all of you, I give you some time to just work. Total fixed cost divided by selling price minus average variable cost. Yeah, so what will you do? 30,000 divided by 25 minus 10, that comes to 15, right? Yes, what answer will you get? 2,000. So 2,000 is the break-even volume, right? When you convert this diagram into a convert this information into a picture form, this is how. Break-even point is point B. You can see that output is measured on x-axis, price, revenue, cost on the y. This line, this horizontal line, is total fixed cost, because fixed costs do not change with output. Variable cost, TVC, that is total variable cost starting from zero, going upwards. Usse se parallel, you have got the total cost. Total cost is starting from A, because total cost is what? Fixed cost plus variable cost. And look at the total revenue line starting from zero. Zero output, zero revenue. So where the total revenue intersects the total cost is break-even. That gives you two portions. After break-even is the profit area. Before the break-even is the loss area. So 2,000 will be written at this point Q. Any product less than 2,000 will take the company into a loss. Anything produced more than 2,000 units, as per our this numerical, will be profit margin. There are many assumptions on which the break-even graphs are drawn. We are assuming that cost and revenue are already given. We are classifying all the cost of the firm into fixed and variable, where fixed costs do not change, variable costs change with output. Selling price is not changed by the company. Factors prices remain same. We assume no change in productivity and efficiency of the labor. No part of the volume of any factor is affecting the cost. Sales, production, everything remains equal. So this diagram is based on many assumptions. And the diagram is based on assumptions. Therefore, there are limitations. Because the break-even analysis is a theoretical concept where what we are learning is a very elementary based on these assumptions. Whereas in reality, no relation between cost and output is ever linear. Linear matlab straight line nahi hota hai. Cost is always uneven. Or usually when the company is increasing its plant capacity, its fixed cost may change. And that may have a total impact on the sale and the entire impact on the graph. Correct? What about quality changes of the product? That cannot be measured in break-even analysis. Break-even analysis is a purely mathematical concept. It does not take into consideration the depreciation estimates, and that is also all calculative, estimated. Correct? Matching the time of output and cost. So when break-even is estimated and when the actual time of completion of the output takes place, they may differ. Selling price at the time what the company estimated and when the company launches the product may differ. So there are many, many things which are getting ignored when we are using a theoretical concept of break-even analysis. These are all the limitations. This analysis is very static, that is making it static, model building. Managerial economics, microeconomics, they are usually making use of model building tools. Model building ka matlab hai, you are using a information, putting it into a graph, taking a hypothetical data and trying to understand. So this makes the analysis static, okay? And this entire break-even analysis is purely रिलेटिंग प्रॉफिट विद आउटपुट, मतलब अगर अगर ये प्रॉफिट एरिया में काम करना है तो इतना मिनिमम आउटपुट प्रोड्यूस करना ही है, इतना आउटपुट बेचना ही है. सो इट इज अ एस्टिमेटेड, इट्स लाइक जस्ट अ बेंचमार्क, बट प्रैक्टिकली इट मे वेरी. ओके, इट डज नॉट कंसिडर एलिमेंट्स ऑफ अनसर्टिनिटी. वॉट अबाउट टैक्स स्ट्रक्चर, हाउ इज इट गोइंग टू इम्पैक्ट द ओवरऑल कॉस्ट? सो दीज आर द माइन्यूट थिंग्स. इफ यू स्टार्ट टेकिंग दिस इन टू अकाउंट, देन द एंटायर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द ब्रेक इवन ग्राफ्स विल चेंज. बट स्टिल इट इज यूज एज अ वेरी पावरफुल मैनेजेरियल प्लानिंग एंड डिसीशन मेकिंग टूल. You are able to understand that, okay, if we know the cost of the company, we know the selling price of the company, then at least basis on that information, what would be the close appropriate or let's say estimated margin of output that the company necessarily will have to manufacture and sell to reach its break-even point. So break-even point is definitely a guiding tool for the company to decide its output level or give its sales target to its salesman instead of just going by any hypothetical assumption. So with that, we have successfully completed this chapter. This was a very theoretical chapter and a very basic, and I hope you have understood it. Thank you.